Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, fellow football fan. For this podcast, we traveled to South London to meet up with Arsenal talent Reece Nelson. He's from South London, and we met at his old primary school, where he was opening an AstroTurf pitch he paid for. Reece Nelson made it as a professional footballer, but he saw lots of talented kids from his neighborhood take a different path in life, ending up in jail or falling victim to knife crime. That's why he dedicates his time and money to his old neighborhood, where we met. My name is Sam van Raalte, and welcome to the 4-3-3 podcast.
Ball played in! Oh, 3-0!
Nelson again.
Reece Nelson has doubled his tally, and Arsenal are now coasting away with this!
We met Reece in the classroom of the Michael Faraday Primary School, the school where Reece spent the majority of his childhood. I started the conversation by asking Reece why it's important to him to do something like this for his former school.
It's important to me because, of course, I feel like giving back is a big part of who I am. And especially coming from South London, I don't feel like there's a lot of good things that happen in terms of giving back to the community, giving back to primary schools, and I think that's something they need, you know. A natural pitch is something they can use, and I hope they use for a long time and the next generation uses it and it becomes good or something.
Yeah. You grew up around the corner, right?
I literally just grew up like 1 second away from the primary school. So my journey was literally me jumping out of bed, brushing my teeth, running downstairs and literally walking 2 metres into my school, you know. So it was great. I know some people have to travel quite far to go to school, but literally mine was less than 10 seconds, you know. I used to hear the bell ring and I used to run my fastest and just get into class.
Cool. Yeah, it's good to see you smile immediately when you're talking about your childhood. So when you grew up here as a kid, you know, what comes to mind? How would you describe your childhood?
My childhood growing up here was, I just remember just being out all the time with my friends and my brother's friends, you know. The way I grew up is it's in a big estate with a lot of landings and connected buildings, you know. So it would be a thing where I would have my friends, literally, like, there's doors each side of us, like, next door neighbours, and all my friends would be there, you know. So it would just be a thing. I remember waking up in the mornings, in the afternoons, and just knocking for my friends, and we would be going playing football. We would go on bike rides, we would be playing runouts, all these different types of games, you know. But I just remember from my childhood, just everyone just being, like, very integrated and feeling loved, and everything was just so good and happy, you know. So it was just amazing.
Sounds like there was a real sense of community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's like the main thing when you mention like estates. I feel like some people get like the bad things out of estates, you know. But for me, I feel like community is everything. Everyone's into one. Everyone wants to look after each other. And I feel like that's like the main thing. And that's why I feel like everyone from estates is like, they go on to do good stuff because everyone behind them is backing them and wanting them to do good.
How do you think this shapes your mentality?
I feel like it shapes my mentality in the right way, you know. I feel like a lot of young players, they don't really, of course, they might not want to give back, but they don't give back in the right way, you know. I feel like me doing this, giving back to my primary school is only going to shape me to maybe help the younger generation to see, okay, Reece came to this school, Reece was a pupil once here, and maybe if that can give just one, two children the just the vision to see that they can maybe do that when they're older. That's what I would wish for, you know, just to give them the encouragement and the vision to that, for something like this can be done, you know, even coming from a place like mine, you know, because I feel like from outside of looking in, you can probably see all the estates and the buildings and the knife crime and all the stuff that happens around here. I might not get the best out of it, you know, but like I said, it looks rough and it might look not the best, but people inside makes the community, and the people have good hearts, big hearts, and they're just like any other person in any other area.
Yeah, you mentioned the knife crime. Where I'm from, the Netherlands, that's mm-hmm. also a problem that seems to grow every year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and it's a very, I think it's a very difficult problem to tackle for governments and stuff. So what are your experiences with that? You know, what did you see when you were growing up, how it impacted the community?
I feel like it's getting worse nowadays rather than back before, you know. Like I said before, I was out from when I was 8, 7 years old with my brothers, all my older friends, and we would be on my estate until 9, 10 o'clock at night. It might sound a bit far-fetched, but that's what I was doing, you know. And it would be a thing where I can walk to all different other areas now and feel comfortable and know everyone on the area. But I feel like nowadays it's a thing where, like you said, the knife crime is very deep, and I feel like it's only going to get worse if the right things don't get put in place, you know. I feel like the community workers, like Sais is here, and he's one of the key people in the community that kind of keep all this stuff out of line. So he's the one that controls it all, you know. So he might have little hubs and little places where they can go and chill. Instead of them doing the wrong stuff on the streets, they might go somewhere where they can play table tennis, they can have food, they can talk to someone. And it's like they're not really reacting to things, you know. And I feel like that's what you need. I think young people, when something does happen, something bad, they kind of want to react straight away, you know, where if you have someone that can literally catch them in the moment and say, okay, look, if you do this, this might react to you going in prison for this time, or this might react to you losing your career or you hurting someone else, where I feel like we have to, like, kind of knuckle down on that in terms of being much more on our toes and looking out for things and seeing what we can do to help the younger children, because literally they're the next generation and they're the ones that's going to be helping us in the future, you know. So I feel like that's what I would do if I was in charge, you know.
Rhys mentioned his friend Sais here. He's an older guy from the neighborhood and the man who scouted Rhys when he was playing in the streets as a kid. Sais became Rhys's first football coach, and they've kept in touch ever since. We met Sais outside of the school, at the block where Rhys grew up. Here's Sais.
We grew up on the same estate, so I grew up here. I actually started my school in here at Michael Faraday, 4 to 5, and then I went down the estate to another school. But I just understood him and all the boys in the area and the girls that we coached. And that team was very successful. We won the London Youth Games at the under-11s age, the minis, we used to call them. So they were 10 and 11. And they were just a fantastic bunch of, you know, young people, but they played some of the best football I've ever seen in my life. And just having Jaden and Reed in the same team.
I think that goes to your tactics, though, because I remember coming there and I was like, okay, I'm just going to play a normal game.
Yeah.
Like in here, I'll get the ball and just shoot.
Yeah.
Sais would be like, no, you have to pass this, you've got to do this.
Yeah.
And
I think it's really about honing your skills that you had and just trying to have a bigger view of the game. And I think that's what we did. It was an environment to learn, and I was learning from these guys, you know, which is so important. And I think we all learned and grew together, and because we came from the same area, we had that same passion for football, and that's what really brought us together. But being in this area was difficult, you know, and coming together was so important for us, and just understanding those journeys. So that's what I've tried to do over the last 24 years in the community, just support young people like, such as Rhys, you know. It's come full circle, you know. He's now in a position to provide for the community. I'm also working in community with my organisation, Mentivity, and we're just trying to support young people, you know, through sports and through mentoring, and trying to raise their aspirations by linking to their passions. And a lot of young people in South East London, especially on this estate, are passionate about football. So we've got to use that to you know, help change their trajectories and make them more positive in life. So for me, this is an amazing initiative, and it's just a start, you know, and I'm just happy to be part of the team and supporting him on this journey, because it means so much to us, you know, it really does.
Back in the cozy classroom, I asked Rhys about his friends growing up and what happened to some of the kids who didn't manage to become as successful. Here's Rhys.
I feel like I've always been with the older children, you know, so I've literally seen everything you can imagine. I've seen on the estate happen, you know, good and bad. And it's a thing where I feel like I'm not one of them kids that kind of grew up in the estate, then leave the estate and then come back. I'm here every week. I was here a couple of days ago, you know, so it's like I kind of check with my community all the time just to see how things are going and if I can help. And like I said, this is one of the things I kind of done today is with the pitch, and that's what I want to do throughout my career. You know, I don't just want to do something once and then that's it and I walk away and people never see me again. I want to do something and I want to build a project that's for a lifetime, that's only going to help people and that people can see this and kind of want to start kind of doing the same thing, and then we can just build like an empire together and everyone kind of rises together, you know.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful. Yes, yeah.
So your trajectory has been very good in life, right? Mm-hmm. Did you see from friends close to you that they took a different route?
Yeah. I don't want to say too much, but one of my close friends, he lived just down the road. He lived about 10, 15 minutes. And for me, he was one of the most talented guys I've seen play football, like on the same level as me. But at the time, he just didn't really want to play football, you know. He wanted to do other stuff, you know. And I managed to get him a trial at Arsenal when he was about 10, 11 years old. And on the first day, Liam Brady wanted to sign him direct, you know. And he got signed. Like, this had never happened before, you know. And they signed him. They gave him a two-year contract. And it was a thing where if I wasn't going to training, sometimes he wouldn't want to go, you know, because he wanted to do things together. And I think at that young age, you kind of need to have that professionalism, even at a young age, to say, you know what, if Reece ain't going to train, I'm still going to go training, you know. But he kind of took it as a joke where he was so talented where he didn't really care, you know. He would just be like, hey, I'll just go there when I want, do that when I want, you know. And Arsenal started to notice this and started to be a bit wary of his behaviour patterns and stuff like that. And then 2 years down the line, it was the scholarship years, so where you get your scholarships. And at the time, I think they offered us both a one-year scholarship and to move up to London Colney with the first team. And like he just kind of laughed at me and said, Reece, like, not being funny, but I don't really need this, you know. I'm getting money doing other stuff on the road that I don't really need to sign a scholarship and be there where I can do other stuff, you know. And I've tried to get into his head where we signed this, and then in a few years you sign a professional contract, and that's when you start seeing proper money and stuff like that, you know. But I feel like when you're in certain areas like South London, you've got people around you that kind of get into your head, you know, saying, okay, you can do this and that and still play football, but in real life that doesn't work, you know. You're not living in a fairyland where you can do both things and feel like you're still going to go to the top. So yeah, it was a thing where I went on to do that. He was still doing the other stuff in the area, and yeah, he ended up going in prison. And yeah, it's a shame, you know, because he's one of my close friends. And this is a story they still say Arsenal to this day in terms of how two people's lives can change, like literally within seconds, you know, with making the wrong decision. So, like I said, me seeing that from a young age, this is why I want to do things like this, to literally help people and not let them get sucked into doing the wrong stuff, you know. And that's just one story. I've got other friends that's done exactly the same thing, playing football, playing music, but chose to just do the other side of stuff.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
When you scroll over Reece's Instagram page, his oldest post is a picture with his mother. "All that I am or ever hoped to be, I owe to my angel mother," he wrote in the caption. I asked Reece what motivated him to post this.
I think that was my first Champions League game, you know, for Hoffenheim. And my mum, she's like the rock of the family, you know. So I feel like everything I do, like I said on the post, is like literally everything I do is for my mum, you know. The things I'm doing here today, I wouldn't have got this unless my mum has brought me up with the right mannerisms, the right things, and just the right way of life, you know. So I feel like, yeah, it's just a thing where I'm just so close to my family, especially my mum, and she's just done a great job of raising her children in the right way. So yeah, pat on the back for my mum, you know.
Can you give me an example of something you did and she corrected you or taught you a lesson like?
There's been a lot, you know, just like little ones in the house. I used to play with like you know, the air floaters you play, you know, the little footballs where you kick it and it goes everywhere, you know. And I remember I was playing once in the house, and her mother that sadly passed away, she was blind, you know. And a lot of the time, mum would say, you can't play football in the house, don't do this in the house, don't do that, you know. And I remember I was like, no, mum, don't worry, I'm good. And I used to tell mum to go in goal, you know. I used to say to my mum, don't worry, I'm going to be a professional footballer, don't worry. I used to say it all the time, every day, just go in goal, please, this last one. And I remember I kicked it, but harder than I should have, you know. And it hit the TV, and my nan was like drinking her hot tea, and it like kind of splashed onto my nan, and it was just like terrible, you know. And I literally got... I used to live next door to my nan, and I remember that day she said, get out of the house, and literally, like, she said, shouted at me, and I had to, literally had to leave the house. I wasn't allowed back for 2 days, you know, and I was just ended up sitting in my house for 2 days in the darkness. So, yeah, that was one of the bad days.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
As a kid, Reece excelled at football. He was picked up by the Arsenal Academy when he was 8, but for a long time, he didn't see football as a way to earn a living.
For me, I never thought I would become a pro. I always had the intentions and the work effort to just to keep going and going and going no matter what, you know. I didn't really look at it as like, okay, I'm at this level now, I feel like I'm going to make it pro by this age. I just, from a young age, like I said, inside the house, I would just be always consistent of just playing football every day. Like, if you ask anyone from the area, like, what was Reece like growing up, they will say, the first thing I can say, he had a ball at his feet everywhere. No matter if I'm going to a bloody party, going to get food, I always had the ball at my feet, you know. So it was one of the things where I used to just train like mad and just give 110%. Like I said, when my friends are doing other stuff, I was the one that's not doing it and literally going to train, you know. But I feel like I signed to Arsenal when I was 8. And before that, I was playing for some Sunday teams and a lot of little community teams, you know. And, it used to be a thing where I would just get the ball and run past everyone, you know. So a lot of the times, the people go up to my family and say, oh, this guy's going to be special, you know. But like I said, I didn't really listen to it, you know, until I actually took the step up to Arsenal when I was 8, 9 years old, and they wanted to sign me and give me a contract. And then I kind of started to realise, okay, like, this could get a bit serious.
Reece was loaned out to Hoffenheim as a teenager. Now, I've been to Hoffenheim for other stories before, and that club is in the middle of nowhere in Germany. It's near a village with not much to do. So, for young Reece, this was a challenge.
It was hard, you know, but I feel like I think I adapt well to things. I feel like I kind of knew what I was there to do, you know. Of course, my personal life, of course, living in London, living in South London, you're used to just going out with your friends, having fun, having your family around, eating food, like just enjoying, you know. I feel like in Heidelberg, I knew kind of I was on a mission, you know. I kind of got, I told the coach I want to go out and learn, I want to prove myself, and I want to kind of break into the Arsenal team. So that was only on my mind, you know. So me living in Heidelberg, it was fine, you know, because I knew what I would be doing is I'll be going to training, coming home, playing games and going back, you know. And I made some good friends out there, so it was nice, you know. But of course, the city is nice in its own way. It's more like peaceful. It kind of made me mature in terms of maybe I'll be getting like going to get like a tea or coffee instead of doing something else, you know. So yeah, but it was good.
Reece was only 18 years old when he made his debut for Arsenal. He subsequently made the loan move to Hoffenheim and returned to Arsenal in 2019. He was promoted to the first team and scored a crucial goal against Liverpool in 2020. But he had to deal with several injuries as well that season. His body had to get used to regular playing time at this level. So, Reece was loaned out once more in the 2021-2022 season to Feyenoord in the Dutch Eredivisie.
Injuries for me has been tough, you know. I feel like whenever I've got an opportunity, I've done really well. But then my body kind of breaks down in terms of playing a lot of matches because, of course, when you're playing a lot of matches, your body might not get used to it, you know. And I think that's something I've kind of had to battle with throughout my career. But I felt like I've done a lot of stuff in the background, working certain muscles and like just building my strength, you know. And that was one of the things that Feyenoord, where I went there. And I didn't feel 100% good in my body, but I kind of just said, you know, I need to go, this is my next step in my career, you know. So I knew I went out there feeling a bit, not 100%, you know, but I was thinking to myself, this is only something maybe for a week or two that I can get back into the team, you know. But unfortunately, it kind of lasted much longer than that, 1 to 2 months. And of course, when you're on loan straight away, the fans want to see you. I think they made it like a big thing of like a London boy going to Rotterdam. I don't think it's happened before, you know. So, of course, the fans wanted to see me, the coaches, the players and everything. So it was a thing where I was watching from the sidelines for the first 1 to 2 months, you know. It was hard for me mentally and physically, you know. But of course, I'd done what I could to just to try and get back straight, you know. And the coaching staff, the backroom staff was very good to me because they gave me the encouragement, they gave me the little tasks to do. I was coming like an hour early, working with the physios and the sports science there, which was amazing to get me back to full fitness. And I think once I did do that, I think the journey just kind of went like that, you know. I think at the start it wasn't going down, but it was just at a place where it was just really difficult, you know. And like I said, I mentioned the manager as well helped me quite a lot, and he just said the main thing you need to do is just get your body and your mind right, and once that's good, I know like you can do so well. And it went on to do really, really good. And unluckily we got beat in the finals, but of course we had an amazing team, and I think everyone from that team's gone on to do amazing stuff, went to all different teams all over the world, and that's credit to the coach and all the backroom staff.
Yeah. Feyenoord, they also have pretty intense fan base, right? The stadium, over 50,000 people. And there's even a word for it in the Netherlands, Kuipvrees, which means like players become afraid when they play for Feyenoord the first time. Did you experience that at all?
Not really. The only time I thought they was gonna get me was when I just come off an injury and I came on against Ajax and we were losing 1-0, you know. And of course, that's like one of the biggest games of the year, you know. And even before that, when I was like walking out in the streets and stuff, they'll be like, Nelson, Ajax is in 2 weeks. You better be ready. Nelson, you got to kill them. Nelson. And I was thinking, God, like these guys are really wanting to do our team against Ajax, you know. So, I remember I've come on. I think someone got injured. I came on the first half. I wasn't supposed to play because I just come off an injury, you know. And I came on, I done really, really well. Like, I was killing the game. And then I remember the ball got played in behind and my right back ran in behind me, you know. And I was like, no. And I was trying to get it back, but I couldn't catch him. And then I tried to nick the ball in the box and then the guy's gone down and they give a penalty away, you know. And I was just thinking in my head, oh, no, you know. But literally, like, I thought that would be a thing where the fans would go crazy, you know, because any other player I heard, if they make any mistakes against Ajax, the fans killed them and, like, you're kind of finished, you know. But literally from that day, that's when I felt the fans became just in love with me and like proper give me the encouragement, the strength I needed to literally go on and have a great second half of the season. So, yeah.
Reece is now back at Arsenal after a successful loan spell at Feyenoord. He's getting more and more playing time and scored a brace against Nottingham Forest in the Premier League earlier this season.
And Reece Nelson, nice bit of skill.
It feels good. It feels really good, you know. It feels like I'm getting back into my rhythm. It feels like I'm much more confident on the ball. I want the ball. I feel like I'm not scared of any opponents or anything like that. I feel like I can literally just get the ball and do my thing and just have a freedom to play. And I feel that as a young player, sometimes you might lack that, you know. You might not feel that you can pick up the ball in any position and turn and drive out a defender and get a shot off, you know, where I feel like now I'm coming back into my form and I'm feeling really confident just to play how I normally play and I know how I can play.
Yeah, so I heard that apart from what we're doing here today, you're also planning different other philanthropic projects. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Not too much, I can tell you a little bit. So basically, like I said today, my main thing is just helping to give it back, you know, and it's based around community. And of course, this is only one thing about the pitch, but of course I have an idea that I've had for a long time that I've been building with my team called The Nelson, and it's basically just I want to kind of create a cage environment where it's just different. Instead of just being the basic AstroTurf cage, I kind of want to make it much more detailed and much more fun and much more safe, really, you know. And I feel like with that, it's going to have like cameras, different lights. It's just going to be amazing, you know. But like I said, it's just going to be based around community. And I feel like people are going to enjoy going to this cage instead of going to a basic cage where it's just, it might just be, but why the cages I used to go to just to be concrete with two goals and it was just boring. After playing it for 2-3 hours, you would just get bored, you know. But the cage that I'm kind of inventing is the Nelson, and it's going to be something that's going to just, you're just never going to want to leave it, you know. You're just going to want to stay there and play different modes. And I can't say too much, but it's going to be amazing, yeah.
It's beautiful how things can come full circle, right?
Yeah, of course, you know, like this is something I want to do. The first thing was me to get back to my school, because I feel like that's my main passion. This is something I had in my head from a young boy coming to the school. I always said, you know what, when I get to this certain level, I want to get back to the school first and let them have that. But after that, I kind of want to look out for the whole of South London and then go on to conquer Europe and other places, you know. But I feel like the main thing is doing it here first. Once this is done, then going on to the other cage and stuff and literally just transforming cage footwear and making it into a different thing that no one's ever seen before.
We then headed to the brand new pitch Rhys paid for his primary school. There were hundreds of excited kids. Ian Wright even showed up to cut the ribbon with Rhys to officially open the pitch. Rhys's family was there as well to enjoy the moment, beaming with pride. I spoke to his sister Tessa about this beautiful project.
I'm Tessa, Reese's big sister, and being here today absolutely means the world to me, to all of us, our whole family. So proud of him, and just seeing him playing with the children, I just can't describe. It's such a lovely thing for Reese to be doing today.
The kids at the Michael Faraday Primary School were ecstatic. I'm impressed that a young guy like Rhys is already so invested in philanthropy off the pitch. How Rhys is using the platform he has as a player to improve the lives of young people from South London and beyond. After the grand opening of the pitch, we ended the day with some cheeky Nando's to celebrate. Rhys seems like a good guy. I can't wait to see where life will take him, both on and off the pitch. My name is Sam Verhaalte. Thank you for listening to this episode of the 433 Podcast. See you soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.